Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, guys, we're going to do another case study breakdown. This is a deal that Jeff's working on currently. So he's going to kind of walk us through this deal a little bit and the way he's structured some creative financing. And then he's going to kind of get my input on the deal as well. So I don't really have any numbers on the deal. I kind of know kind of the context of what's transpired here with the deal, but I know very, very little. So let's get into that. Jeff, tell us about this this deal you got going on, how you found it, and you know the details of it a little bit, and let's go from there.
Okay, so the property is in Idaho, and okay. One of our markets that we work in, and I'm trying to look at, we got this from our Google AdWords, so online marketing, and which we don't do a lot of, but every once in a while brings us a lead that makes sense. It's a 3-bed, 1-bath, 1,100 square feet. It almost sounds like similar to the property we just talked about in the last episode. This one's a little newer, built in 1976. When we asked if they would take payments for their equity, she said no. And they owe $45,000 on the property, and they've got a payment of $675 PITI, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. We ran some comps. So the property's in good condition, although she said current condition was like a 6 out of 10. It's in pretty decent condition. It's probably more like an 8. Needs a few things, maybe the kitchen and bathroom updated, but it's in good condition. She was asking $125,000. This property is worth like 2. And $200,000, and I don't know why I decided to make her offers of creative finance offers, because she said she wasn't open to it, and in reality she kind of was, sorta. So first thing, Jonathan, how would you deal with this property? What would you do?
Well, for me, if she's only asking 125 and it's worth 200 in my mind, and it's in good condition, I would buy it for cash and wholetail it.
So that's what I would do. Just offer the 125 and be done.
Yep. I would try to, I would probably come in at like 120 or 118 or something, just to see if I can get her a little bit lower. But yeah,
I'd buy it for cash. And just so you know, because that's what we did as well. She is pretty stuck on that 125. Okay.
Yeah. Well, then I would come up, I would offer like 118 or 120. And then she said, no, I'd say, all right, I can do 125 if we can get it done, if we can get it signed up today.
Okay. Okay. So we came in, we offered 114 and some change cash. And then I gave her a short-term finance offer. That's it. You know, hey, if you're willing to stay in this for 6 months or less, we can pay you more. And I offered her 122 with 20 grand down, and you know, basically take over her monthly payment, 675, and then pay her off in 6 months or less. And the thought process was that, hey, I'll either go wholesale this to someone or we'll buy it and wholetail it, right? Just go put it on the market at, you know, a higher than wholesale price and go that route. And which I do a lot more of with this short-term financing. When sellers start looking at those, I start looking at maybe I should just stay in this rather than wholesale it. So depending on how much work it needs. So she came back and she actually accepted the short-term finance offer.
Okay.
So I was pleased with that. And we actually signed a purchase agreement. But as we started to dive into this, she said, well, my son is living in the house and I need for him to have 30 days after closing to go find a place. And I agreed. That's not ideal. What I told her was that out of the 20 grand that we were going to give her, we were going to hold back like $4,000 in escrow to just guarantee that he would be out within those 30 days. As long as he was out, he left the property in good condition after 30 days, that money would be released. And if not, then she would start getting charged for him being there. And it was like $75 a day or something like that.
Okay. Is that something you write in your purchase agreement?
Yeah, it is. I want to make sure that if someone's still going to be there at time of closing, when they're going to be out, because regardless, this is costing us money and we can't do anything with the property, right?
Right, yeah.
We couldn't clean it up. We couldn't rehab it. Can't really sell it. Can't really even show it.
Yeah, I like that. That's why I asked if you like use it in your purchase contract.
Yeah, so we actually had to create an addendum because we didn't know this until after we signed the agreement. Okay, so here's where this gets interesting because it should be the end, right? This should be the end of this episode. Hey, good one, Jeff. Way to go. but no, it doesn't always work out that way.
Okay.
So now out of the blue, the seller tells us that she did owner financing on this property like 7 years ago on a land contract. Okay.
So she bought it on a land contract?
She bought it on a land contract. Do you want to explain what a land contract would be?
Yeah, it's we call it a contract for deed on our show. In other parts of the country, it's called a land contract. But basically, it's just like buying a car, and that's kind of the easiest way we explain it. When you go out and buy a car, you get a loan from the bank. You don't get the title. The title goes to the bank, and they're a lien holder. Same kind of thing with land contract or contract for deed. You have a contract, and you would actually file a memorandum of interest or notice of interest, whatever it may be called in your area. And that is basically all the buyer gets on title. So title does not transfer from seller to buyer until the contract is paid in full, or the purchase price is paid in full. So same with when you buy a car from when you get a loan from the bank to buy a car. Again, you don't get that title till you pay that loan off. And so it's very simple in that. But in this scenario, Jeff, what you're saying is that your seller, the one who bought on land contract, is not on title yet.
No, she is not. And really what she did was she basically took this property subject to the mortgage. So she took over the seller's payments, have been making payments on it for the last 7 years. She still owes, like $45,000 on this mortgage. And we could have still structured it the same way, but remember, she's not on title. And now we'd have to incorporate to wrap this again. One, I have a hard time doing contract for deed in Idaho. I've done it a bunch of times, but all of a sudden I got kind of cut off and I just haven't found the title company or attorney that will close this on a regular basis. So I made an offer as an all-inclusive trust deed and note, which is a wrap, and right, where title would transfer to me or to my buyer. Well, it can't transfer because she doesn't have it to transfer it.
Right.
So now all of a sudden this is like, this won't work. Normally I would just do it as contract for deed and we just let it stand, but I can't get that closed. At least I don't have that all set up to get closed. So I'm like, huh, that's not gonna work.
Could she assign her contract to you?
Well, it's not a contract. I mean, you know, she's the owner. It's that she doesn't want to assign anything to me because she's got a bunch of equity and she's got to, you know, protect herself in that. As far as she knew, all she cared about, and she still would have this conversation with me right now, she did not get that this won't work. But she's like, I don't understand, you know, I need to be on title. I need to do this. I need to get this seller out. He can't have any capital gains. You know, I don't know, maybe it's a friend of hers. Maybe, I don't know what it is, but she was throwing out all these different issues. And so let's address a couple of them. Look, there are no capital gains to him. The sale occurred 7 years ago. This is not the sale to him. This is the sale to you. So if there's going to be any capital gains, it's going to be yours, not his. So that's the first thing. And second is that she can't transfer title. She doesn't even have title herself.
Right.
Those are the issues. And then third would be, hey, I can't do this. I don't know how it would work. I imagine we could do, if we had to, we could do a land contract as opposed to a contract for deed. And it'd be exactly the same. It would just say land contract at the top. And if you saw, I saw the paperwork to this. Wow. My guess is the reason they were able to do this is I don't think they closed this with a title company.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So those are our issues, Jonathan. What do you do? This was a bit of a surprise. She had not mentioned any of it. The deal still seems like it's worthwhile to pursue, right?
Yeah.
You said that you would pay cash. I mean, you could always go that route, but I don't want to.
Yeah, so your offer was 122
yep,
short term.
Yep.
And you were going to give her 20 down.
Yeah.
Except there's a $45,000 first, basically, that has to be paid off in order for title to transfer to her.
Yep.
And then, therefore, you can structure the short term.
Then she'd be untitled.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't, like, I'm drawing a blank. I don't, okay. I've never even heard of this situation. she would need to close, I guess, right?
Yeah. So let's simplify it. So what I came up with is let's do a subordination. And what I'll do is I'll bring in enough money to pay off the underlying loan. She would then go on title, right? Because she would then own the property.
Yeah.
I would borrow $65,000 against the property.
In first 45,
business. 45 would go to the previous seller, the lien holder, and 20, which is what I was giving her to begin with, will go from the rest of the proceeds. And then I will secure her $57,000 in second position. And what I offered her was I would pay her $500 a month, principal only payments, for up to 6 months. My payment just went up quite a bit, and I could have structured like no payment on that, but I mean, does it really matter? I mean, if I'm paying her $500 a month, that's coming off the top. It's one, you know, we're paying $1,100. And I put on here that payments aren't going to start for 60 days. So I have the 30 days to get her son out. And then I still got another 30 days before I got to start making that payment as well. So it's, to be honest, it might be sold before I ever have to make a payment.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter as much because you're not holding it as a rental. It's not eating into your cash flow. No. And that $500 is just going towards principal anyway. So that's kind of a wash when you sell the property.
It's all going to come back to me.
Yeah. I mean, your holding costs to hold the property longer, that goes up. But I mean, again, you're paying interest. What are you paying for interest on your, on that first position, $65,000 loan?
So really what I was thinking that no matter what I could do is I probably wouldn't even end up getting that loan. So I'll tell you what my thought process is here is that, so if I had to, I can certainly go borrow $65,000 against a $200,000 home, right? I mean,
easy.
People should be thrilled to do that.
Yep.
So let's look at what this could cost. I guarantee you, I can find someone that will lend this money to me at 8%. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree.
So at 8%, they will make $433.33 per month. That's a simple interest calculation. Just take 65,000 times 0.08. That's the interest for the year and divided by 12. Okay. Yep. So I would have a smaller payment on this than I would taking over her existing debt that I was agreeing to before, but this doesn't include taxes and insurance. But I'm not going to worry about taxes. This is going to be short term. So 433. So my payment combined at worst case scenario is 933, you know, plus some insurance policy. So about less than $1,000.
Yeah.
So that works. What if I could get this interest? I mean, do you think someone might make that? I could probably offer them just a flat fee. You know, I need 90 days. And 65,000 times 0.06 is $325 a month. You know, hey, I'll give someone $1,500 for, you know,
3 months.
Whatever. It's not a big deal one way or the other. It's not going to make it or break it. Could I just go borrow hard money if I needed to and pay 2 points and 12% interest?
Yeah.
It's a small amount of money. It'd be, you know, no one's going to require me to come with any of that money. I'm pretty sure I can get 100% on this kind of loan, right?
Yeah.
So I tried to make it easy, but let me tell you what I think I'm going to do here is I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to wholesale it now. And I have a potential buyer and I would turn around and offer it to him for probably 140, 142. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because it really doesn't need that much work and he'll probably just go and wholesale it. Try to just go put it on the market and, you know, make 15 grand on it. That's how competitive things have gotten, right? So people are looking for any way that they can kind of squeeze some money out of a deal. So I'm going to sell it to him for cash. So he's going to just go borrow hard money to bring that in and it's going to get all cashed out. So what I'll end up doing is I'll go back to the seller just before closing and say, you know what? I've been thinking about this. Rather than just pay you, you know, $65,000, cash this out and, you know, give you 20 grand right now, What if I was just to give you all of your money right now? Would you take 117 if I could just cash you out and we'd just be done? You don't have to wait 6 months for your money. And we'll see what happens. I don't know. Maybe she was adamant. Yeah, I was shocked that I could get her to 122. Yeah. But she might be happy with just being done and getting all of her money. And and if, you know, we're a few days away from like, hey, you can have your money in 3 days, that might make sense to her. So that's probably what I'm going to do. So we were had to be creative. We were creative to set up a short-term financing. Yeah. Then we have to get a little more creative to maintain that financing. And now I'm thinking, let's get even more creative because I have a potential buyer and they'll probably just pay cash.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting. When you asked me, what would I do? I don't know, but a subordination, that's a great idea in that scenario.
Well, it works, right? I mean,
yeah, it works. Yeah.
All the numbers work and I can still get her. I can clear up this whole issue with the previous seller and with her not being on title. Now she will be on title. She'll be the seller selling to us or to our buyer, and she'll still get that 20 grand. So the only thing she really had to agree to is, will you be okay leaving the balance of your equity in second position for 6 months or less?
Yeah.
That was easy. That was no problem.
Right. Yeah. I love it. That's cool. That is a cool deal. And I mean, what would the majority of people do out there?
Probably just paid cash, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The cash would have made sense. It still would have, but in my opinion, if you're going to rehab this, you'd rather have my terms that I've structured than hard money terms, most likely.
Yes.
Almost guaranteed.
Absolutely.
Some of it's going toward principal. None of your hard money is going toward principal. You're going to have to come up with money. Most likely, you don't have to come up with one penny out of pocket unless you decide to rehab this property to some degree.
Right.
I just think that's a much better way. Don't always, my whole thing is that when we're doing deals, we probably do half cash, half creative financing. And I'm waiting, I think 2020 will be the time where it starts to shift for us, where it's more like 65% of the time we're doing creative financing and 35% cash. Cash is fine. I don't mind it, but how many more people, how much more flexibility do I have? Even if I wanted to just wholesale this, would someone like these terms?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why wouldn't they? I mean, it's not hard for them to go borrow 65 and they just got to come to the table with my assignment fee. That's it.
Right.
So to me, it's like before you just revert back to cash, think about what else you can do. And will it make more sense than cash? I mean, I could have gone back and said, all right, we'll just do cash. But I like this better. And now it's going to give me an opportunity to try to go discount her because I am going to bring cash.
Yeah. Yep. And if you're thinking of cash anyway, always think of that short-term financing offer. And really it's kind of the easiest place to start in creative financing. So if you're just learning creative financing, it's easy and you're already wholesale or you flip. I mean, it's easy to think of, well, what if they were to carry the note for 6 months instead of me?
How much money will I save in hard money?
Yeah. Right. So it's real simple in that aspect. And so guys, just think of that, as you're out there looking at deals and you're like, I'd just bring in cash for that. Make an alternative offer, make a short-term alternative offer. See if they're willing to carry and give them some money up front. I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer.
You know what I've been doing lately, Jonathan, is because I'm trying to get more, especially the ones that don't need a ton of rehab. I'm trying to get my short-term financing offer accepted because I wouldn't mind, I don't love going and borrowing hard money. I'll do it when I have to, but that's not really our thing. I'd rather borrow the down payment, which I will do as well, and still not use any of my own money. But, and we can talk about that a whole nother time, that, you know, I'm seriously, I try not to put my money in deals. On the last episode, we talked about how I did, but, you know, I had 2 days. I didn't even have enough time to talk to someone about putting up money.
Right.
This, I have plenty of time. I don't want any money in it. And so now I've dropped my cash price, maybe $3,000 to $6,000 less than what I'd normally be. And I'm trying to up my short-term financing up so there's a bigger spread between the two of them. Because I'd much rather take control of this property for, you know, some money up front and either rehab it if it's a light rehab or wholetail it. And instead of making $15,000-$17,000, I can make $30,000 or $40,000. I might have to wait a little longer, but that's not a bad way to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And anytime you don't bring your own money into it, into any deal, it's an infinite return, right? Because you have zero invested.
Right.
And it's just leverage. You can leverage a lot more deals, a lot more properties, if you're able to use other people's money.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, I hope that our listeners gained a lot of value out of this, both in just looking at it, like, what other thing could I do aside from offer cash? And start looking at it, at least in that short-term financing realm of possibilities, right? And then...
It's your mindset.
Yeah, it is mindset. And the fact that you're just like, yeah, we can do a subordination in this scenario where this lady bought on contract for deed and she does not own title, but we can bring in that $65,000, give her what she needs, and pay off that primary mortgage that's in place. So that title's transferred over, and then you can do, you know, all-inclusive or whatever on that back end. But I think that's very creative. I love it. I always learn so much as we talk about these, Jeff, just from you and really your mindset on how you would do things, because it's just stuff I don't even think of.
Well, that part of the whole, this podcast has been really good for me because, one, I get to explain it. And every time that I go through it and I have to explain it, it makes me think a little more, right? Like, hey, what else could I have done? How else could I have structured this? When I had this issue, I told my acquisition manager, I need a little time to think about this. And I had to figure out what I wanted to do. And, there's only, I don't know, there's probably 5, 6, 7 different strategies that I like to use over and over. And I can structure them in a lot of different ways. I don't have an infinite amount of strategies, but I can structure them. You know, each one has a number of moving parts, and you can structure them differently. And this podcast has been super good for me to start thinking about, hey, I just told you about one. Hey, I'm trying to get my short-term financing offer accepted more on some of these properties. How do I do that? Well, I'm going to drop my cash price because that's the one that I'm least in favor of. I'm going to wholesale. What's worst case scenario? They take it, or I'd have to negotiate it back up where it should have been. Right. Okay. But you've got, you know, 1, 2, 3 other offers that make more sense. I'd rather you take one of those anyway.
Yeah. 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 And that's a strategy in itself, what you just mentioned there, Jeff. Lower your cash offer a little bit and make your short-term financing offer a little higher.
Yeah.
Boom. Like, why wouldn't they take it?
If they're not, then I'm probably getting a better deal for cash, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. If you insist on cash, okay. But I'm tweaking these things all the time, and a lot of it's coming because we're doing this. I'm having these interactions with you, and I'm having to, when I get into offer mode, it's all about just cranking them out, right? I don't spend a tremendous amount of time going through and figuring everything out. But when I do this on the podcast, I'm forced to go back and kind of look a little deeper and then explain it. And I'm like, huh, I should have done this, or I could do that. So it's been helpful to me too.
Well, I've heard that there's three levels of learning, you know, number one, being able to comprehend it. Number two, being able to do it. Number three, being able to teach it. And so as you do this podcast and you're teaching me and our audience, I mean, you're on that third level of learning, right? Yep. Teaching it. And so that's where you know the subject matter most intimately.
Yeah. And it's been good for me. So hopefully it's been good for you. I really hope that it's been good for our listeners out there. I know certainly some of them, because we've had a few on our program saying how it's kind of changed their investing strategy. And you know, obviously I want to hear about more of those stories, because that's awesome. That's why we're basically doing this, is to, you know, make a difference.
Absolutely. So if you are a listener out there and you have been for some time or even a short period of time, and you've taken a strategy or a concept or an idea from this show and you've implemented it, we would love to hear from you, to get you on the show and just talk about it, because you're doing it, right? And so anyone that's out there doing it, I mean, they're an inspiration and a model for all of our other listeners looking to get into using creative financing. So if you're out there, give us a call on our hotline, let us know what you're doing. And we would love to at least talk about a deal you've done, or get you on the show, one of the two. But you're just, you know, you're proof of concept, really.
And submit your deals, submit them, that ones that you're working on that you need help with, or ones that you would have liked to have seen what potentially could have happened, some offers. You know, I'll do my best to touch base with you and work through it with you, but then we can use it as well on our show for the rest of our listeners out there.
Yep. So to reach us, you can call our hotline, and that number is 877-409-8090. Again, 877-409-8090. And you can also text CFP or Creative Financing to that number to get a link for special access to a video that Jeff did on structuring offers step by step, taking, you know, a lead from his CRM and walking you through his offers and through the numbers and how he thinks about it and even his exit strategy. So really good video there. You can also see his letter of intent on that video, so you can get that as well. So if you haven't gotten that, go get that, because it's a really well done video. And you know, the more you watch and the more you practice this stuff, the better you're going to learn. So,
and there's a visual component, which is something that will only help.
Yeah, exactly. So, again, that number is 877-409-8090. You can find all of our podcasts at thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. We're also on Facebook at The Creative Financing Podcast, and then YouTube, The Creative Financing Show. So all of those places you can reach us, and we'd love to hear from you. Any last words, Jeff?
So I wanted to just mention that my apprentice program, and the reason that I want to is I just did a meetup a couple of days ago, and everyone introduced themselves and had to mention one goal that they had for the next 12 months. And my goal is that I really want to help 25 new or newer investors get themselves into the real estate business successfully. And for me to get 25 people to that point, I've got to work with a number of them, because unfortunately, not everyone wants to put in the time and the effort to make it happen. But We are doing some exciting things. I want to incorporate my apprentices in that. And so if you are interested in the program, just leave me a message on the hotline. I will call you back. We will. There's zero pressure. It's not a sales pitch, I promise. It is what it is. And if it fits your needs, we'd be happy to work with you. And if it's not, no big deal.
Awesome. Okay, guys. Well, until next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.